But going down and starting with Michael, who has a bit of a different asset class, you know, what are you, and this question is going to go down the line for you three, but, you know, obviously this year is an interesting year, biggest election year in global history. Obviously, income investments gain popularity, but some analysts say that around June, those things may drop off and change. How do you guys think you hedge in terms of providing security for income investments going into this year? Where many people may come up to you and say, you know what, I'd rather wait till next year and see how everything's going.
Well, when I don't know an answer to a question, as in this case, regarding tomorrow, I can barely take care of today. I refocus on what I do know. And what I do know in the alternative investment class, such as precious metals and our fine art, in our case, both combined, that during COVID, because we were debt-free and remained so, we were profitable for our shareholders. Then when COVID was over, because at that time, all of our galleries were closed, no trade shows, no cruise ships, but we were still producing monuments for hotels and golf courses and such, banks, because they remained open. And that helped our shareholders. So that kept us stable. So at the very, very low, we weren't low. And now it's exponential growth. And so we can now say that stabilizing factor from a fine art alternative class investment is a really good move for some portion of your portfolio, be it 5-10%. Now you can double that because we combine both. But that, to me, has been very satisfying serving my shareholders.
Awesome. Interesting. Yeah, no, thank you, Michael. Jules.
Honestly, we don't think about interest rates. I mean, we're aware of them. It impacts deal flow as it pertains to renovations. But our clients need us, and they have nowhere else to go. And we don't take advantage of that necessarily, but so we're very aware of it. Does it really impact our business? Yeah.
And can you talk a little bit more on how you're, well, I mean, you can provide 15% returns to certain homeowners if they go into certain co-ownership on properties they already own. Could you speak a little bit about on that? Or maybe I got it completely.
We have something in common here. So our strategy is, we'll keep it simple. You make a loan. That's what we do.
Loans. Sorry to mix that up. Crossing the wire.
No, it's all good. And so we are going to analyze those deals as conservative as we can, right? And typically those folks are going to pay us 15 or 18%, kind of blending here. We're going to return 12% to our investors when we do joint ventures. We can get into that another time, how that's going to go up. But it does blend over here because it is essentially a joint venture. That's the way I look at it. So we're joint venturing with our investors, providing capital to homeowners or borrowers. And then when we joint venture with a developer, then that's where we're going to get a bump on our returns. But the first thing is like anything else, right? We just want to analyze the deal properly. And so right now, to your point, because the interest rates are higher, we're being more conservative on the buys, and we're leaving more margin of error for cities permitting and, you know, delays and so forth and so on. So
what's your funnel look like in terms of getting these applications?
The funnel? Well, yeah. Okay. So this goes back to, we have access to these 9,000 retail investors. They're all over the country. So we have,
they're just targeting these 9,000.
Well, it's plenty big for what we need to do.
Yeah.
It goes back to actually some things that Jeff was saying about living your best year ever and starting with that. But those folks, they're trained, or we train them. We have different teams. We have deal flow teams. We have multifamily teams. We have single family portfolio teams in different states. But the key is training those folks to understand what we're looking for, so we spend less time analyzing the final product.
Got it.
think I answered your question.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. 100%. 100%. And then, Michael, definitely this question for you, you know, considering oil and gas and kind of this interesting year.
Yeah, I think I'll go along with what Michael said. The alternative investment class has really kind of spiked since the debt markets have become super expensive and kind of relative to your other plays. And so that's really fallen in line really well with what we're trying to do at Trevino Resources. I think people are flocking to energy and oil and gas for a couple reasons. I think real estate got a knock for being a passive investment, and then you buy a bunch of Airbnbs, and all of a sudden now you're your own property manager, or a variety of other things that turn that passive investment into active. You know, the thing that we're able to offer Trevino Resources is really truly a passive investment style. I mean, you know, we're producing oil every day, we sell oil every day, so it's a very liquid market. We're able to return monthly distributions to our investors due to that nature. And as a, you know, someone coming from outside investing as an LP in oil and gas, it truly is a passive investment. There's nothing you have to do other than get us the money and let us go develop the fields. You know, the other reason I think people nowadays are really looking towards oil and gas specifically is the tax deductions. If you're a high net worth individual with a large taxable either W-2 income or a 1031 exchange, you can exchange that or roll that into an oil and gas fund like Trevino Resources, the ones that we have. And because about 80 to 90% of what we do is drilling new oil and gas wells, you're able to write that off and offset ordinary income, use that as for 1031 exchange opportunity. And really, we've seen actually a big chunk of people who weren't interested in alternative investments and maybe who had just stuck to real estate more specifically have kind of moved over and have really started looking at the alternative investment space mainly because of that. So I think, you know, this is my, you know, professional opinion, I guess. I say quotes with that, but, you know, it doesn't give much more income generation than oil and gas investing considering kind of the underlying mechanics of how just the market works.
Awesome. Yeah.
Can I just comment on the interest rate question, right?
Yeah. For sure.
So, Frank, and then
I think, you know, there's a lot of real estate investors, prop techs, version one, who blew up when interest rates rose in the last 2 years, right? And so we went out of ZIRP into all of a sudden money costs interest again, right? And real estate is fairly sensitive to interest rates, as you all know, right? 2/3 is driven by underlying supply demand. 1/3 or so is driven by short-term fluctuations in rates. The question we were asking is, as interest rates go up and you know, not to mortgage rates to 7, they're going to come back down to mid 5s. That's the long run average. That's the 40-year average. That's where money should be priced long term. And so then the opportunity we're investing into is, what does that do to first-time home buyers, right? It squeezes them even more on top of student debt and house prices and all that. And whenever you have a big problem like that, where you have millions of people looking at their home purchase and it's getting delayed year and year and year and year, there's an opportunity, right? And so in a way, when we look at interest rates, say, higher interest rates for longer, which I think that's the environment we're in, are actually good. They create opportunity if you know how to capture that opportunity.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd probably have some controversial view.
Yes.
And as long as the stock market is in the frothy status and unemployment is still at very low stage and we're still under the pressure of CPI, the CPI goal, and still not move the right direction, you know, going to 2%, I don't think we're likely to see interest rate lower, you know, in the first half of the year. Of course, we could see that, you know, we can take a sit and watch perspective to see how things evolve. We could see, especially fixed income investment, like in this panel, actually provide a very good, you know, I would say, hedge alternative, you know, for the investment. A lot of fixed income investment like us, collateralized by hard assets, very low, you know, loan to value, and has strong cash flows in a lot of cases, and well-weathered for any environment. So we will see this is an opportunity for investors actually diversify that investment. I was an engineer myself. I like tech stock, invest in new technology, but we provide a different correlations to this type of growth.
Fantastic. Thank you. Yes. We have questions from the audience. We can get the mic. Your name and where you're from, my friend?
My name is Venkat Arimini. I'm from Tampa, Florida. Actually, I'm a multifamily syndicator. So I scaled up my business in last 2 years from zero to 1,000 doors. I see opportunities in real estate, especially in the multifamily, because of the uncertainty. So I truly believe if you do it right, multifamilies in investments are, we see next 12 to 24 months bars up opportunities. I'm not familiar with gas and oil. My question is to the panel, what do you see? Because that's what I see. That's what our strategy. We're going to acquire more properties in next 12 to 24 months. And the second question to you is, I think you're a real estate expert, how we can help? Because I sell technology professional. Most of them are from EB5 category. How we can help you, what you're doing?
Very good question.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we see a lot of opportunities in multifamily because a lot of projects actually stalled because of high interest rates. And that's why in the market, the supply is very low. And at the same time, we see the demand actually keep going. That's why even in today's high interest environment, multifamily, and especially in the rental market, you didn't see the rents actually drop. And so therefore, and we see great opportunities, and Cambian, you can provide first lien debt, highest collateral, first lien debt, loan to value can cut into 50%, and you can enjoy double digits and even middle double digits kind of return for investors. And this is great opportunity. And we'll enjoy looking for high net worth individuals, high net worth family office to syndicate with us, investing in those opportunities. And so that's why, we will be happy to talk with you after the meeting.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jenny. Yes, Jules.
I could add to that. It's such a great topic, right? Because, most people who are putting up pitch decks are offering 2x your money, in 5 years. And that's been the standard. Part of my question is, in all the pitch decks I've seen from multifamily, is that really going to be able to stand? And so I think the sponsor is the most important part. The operator's probably more important than the sponsor, right? So it all goes back to having the right team. And everybody's hoping that everything's going to, all these bridge loans from multifamily are going to come due. Well, what I'm already seeing is some of those investors, some of those lenders are actually working with the new buyer versus foreclosing on those properties. So I'm not sure we're going to see as much multifamily come to market as the economists say, but I'm certainly hopeful as well.